Hello, friends. We are on a Cosmic Fire webinar commentaries number 12. And we're on page 1224. And again, we're revisiting the creative hierarchies. There is a chart here, which we'll get into in a minute. I wanted to, without going through undue elaboration, I wanted to link the hierarchies together by number. We have the unmanifested. We have the Pisces creative hierarchy, which is intelligent substance. It's number one. We have the Leo creative hierarchy. It is number one of the manifested hierarchies. And if we count from the manifested hierarchies from the below upward, we have Aquarius. We also have, in a sense, the sign Cancer, because, as we see here, if we began counting from the base of the astral plane upward, Cancer would be the first creative hierarchy. I'm not sure whether it's legitimate to do that, but in any case, Pisces, Leo, and Aquarius all are characterized by the number one. And in a way, we have then the highest of the hierarchies unmanifested, the highest of the manifesting hierarchies. So Pisces, the highest of the unmanifested. Leo, the highest of the manifested, and Aquarius, the lowest of the manifested hierarchies brought together. And there are ways in which we can... Well, I think I won't get too much into the ways of linking these. I will just say that perhaps they can be linked. Intelligent substance, the divine flames, and the baskets of nourishment. Moving down, we have the Aries hierarchy, which is said to work through unity through effort, number two. The Virgo hierarchy, which is the burning suns of desire. And they are the divine builders, or the greater builders. Divine builders, yes, okay. And also Sagittarius, which are the lunar lords. There is a definite connection here between the hierarchy ruling the second plane from above of the manifested hierarchies and the second plane from below. So all of these are connected in a planar sense. Unity through effort, the divine builders, and the lunar lords. And if we mount, count from the lowest level of the cosmic astral plane, Gemini, which gives us as well what's called desire for duality, would also be included. Then with hierarchy number three of the unmanifested type is ruled by Taurus. And its theme is, or its energy, is light through knowledge. And then we come to Libra, which is number three of the manifested creative hierarchies. And its theme, the lesser builders conferring form. These are the triads, or the triple flowers. They're both, interestingly, ruled by Venus. Both Taurus and Libra are ruled by Venus, but hierarchically Taurus by Vulcan, and Libra by Saturn. Capricorn is also included as the third from below. And here we have the human personality, the crocodiles, the Makara, as they are called. Now, much, you know, profound, lengthy pondering could go forth on these connections if we think that by numerical resonance there is a way to connect these orders of monads, these orders of lives. And probably there would be. Gemini is the fourth unmanifested creative hierarchy. Its key is desire for duality. And then along with it, Scorpio, and Scorpio again, both responding to the number four, and that's the human creative hierarchy. The initiates, the lords of sacrifice. Now, if you think about that, the connection of Gemini with Scorpio is pretty profound, because the human creative hierarchy its intervention into the lives of animal man created the soul and personality duality, which the Gemini hierarchy represents. This is not really a triangle, it's simply a relationship, and it's also a relationship which exists through the connecting power of the planet Mercury. Just as Taurus is mentioned again here in the third, united by the number three, Aries is united with those who are characterizing or expressing the number four, and we see that count from below 1, 2, 3, 4, and we're back to unity through effort. These things are really profound, and all I'm doing is indicating the lines of numerical connection, the lines which can exist through what we can call numerical resonance, but it would take extraordinary pondering to see how these lives could be brought together. Of course, when you have an opposition like Cancer Capricorn, we know that they are related. We're already told that the fifth creative hierarchy, even though it's not quite on the cosmic astral plane yet, whose number is, its number is also 7 and 6, I see. Okay, that this fifth creative hierarchy through the number 5 is related as well to Capricorn and to Libra. Capricorn counting downwards, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and Libra counting upwards this way. So it's a relationship based upon, very much upon the planet Saturn, Venus, and Neptune, if we look at the hierarchical rulers, and Pisces would be included in the fifth position if we number upwards, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the Pisces hierarchy, although that number 5 is not here listed as, because the numbering up occurs from below. It begins on the lowest level of the cosmic physical plane. Still, there is reason to think that we can use numbers counting from the base of the cosmic astral plane. Now we go on and look for the number 6. The number 6 gives us a triangle from Leo, the first of the manifested hierarchies. We see the divine flames, and then Sagittarius and Virgo. We see the divine flames, and we also see the lunar lord, Sagittarius, and Virgo. Now, I think I've left out one of the possible number 6s, and that should be Gemini. So let me insert that. Gemini, given the planes on which the unmanifested hierarchies are focused. So we see we see here that Leo has the number as the divine flames, the first of the unmanifested hierarchies. Sagittarius, Leo, the first of the manifested hierarchies. Sagittarius, on the sixth plane of the manifested hierarchies. Virgo on the sixth plane, counting from below upward. On the sixth plane, really the second, but counting from below upward, the sixth. And then, if we were going to look over here, on the sixth plane of the unmanifested hierarchies, we have Gemini. So there are actually 4 here which are quite strongly together. And of course, we could find connections. One only has to ponder, and connections will appear, because after all, these are interrelated groups of monads, some more strongly interrelated than others. There's also going to be another addition that I'm going to have to put here, and it's going to be Cancer, and we'll see how. United through the relationship to the number 7 is Virgo of the manifested creative hierarchies here. Virgo of the manifested creative... No. Did I say that? Yes, because with the manifested creative hierarchies counting from Pisces to Virgo, you get the number 7. Then you go down here to the 7th plane and you find Aquarius. And then you rise here through the 7th plane from the base of the cosmic physical plane and you find Leo. Well, these are, you know, two aspects relating to very high lives, monads, trying to work out in some sense through the etheric energy of the lowest elemental lives. But we're not finished here. We have to include the sign Cancer because it is on the 7th of the cosmic astral, 7th level of the cosmic astral plane and is distributing the 7th ray. So this is the hierarchy for mass life. And along with it, we find the divine builders, the baskets of nourishment, the divine flames, and mass life. All right, now for number 8. We don't have any number 8s on the unmanifested creative hierarchies, so we have to look at 8. Well, actually, no, I'm incorrect in saying that. Libra is the 8th. When we count from above, from Pisces, and Libra will give us the lesser builders, the triple flowers, the triads, and counting from below, we will also find that Cancer is here. They are united in some sense through the number 7, and Libra is the 7th sign, and Cancer distributes the 7th ray. We can look at things in that way as well. If we were numbering from the base of the cosmic physical plane, number 8 would take us all the way, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we would already be on the cosmic mental plane in terms of hierarchy, so we cannot do that. I know a theorist who does do that, but he uses this whole setup in an entirely different way. United through the number 9, we have the human hierarchy, which is Scorpio, the initiates, or the, how are they called here? The initiates, or the lords of sacrifice, that's it. Lords of ceaseless, persevering devotion. And if we want to connect with the number 9, numbering up, we find the Gemini hierarchy. So again, we see an important connection between Scorpio and Gemini. The Scorpio hierarchy, having created a duality between soul and personality, and the Gemini hierarchy representing that precisely. At least it represents duality, and it talks about desire for duality. We go on here to those united through the number 10, and they would be the hierarchy of solar angels. Well, we would call them the Makara. And then the Taurus hierarchy, counting from below and upward onto the cosmic astral plane, light through knowledge. So we would have the human personality, the crocodiles, the Makara hierarchy united to a Taurus hierarchy. They are both connected via the... There are many ways that these hierarchies can be connected via ruling planets. In this case, through Venus, although the hierarchical ruler is Vulcan. Well, the two rulers of Taurus connect these two hierarchies, Vulcan and Venus. Then we go to 11. It's going to be the lunar lords, or they're called the sacrificial fires. And then counting upward with 11, we have Aries unity through effort. There's all kinds of connections we can look for. The Aries is ruled by Mars, but hierarchically through Uranus. But the Martian rulership does connect it with the hierarchical rulership of this 11th creative hierarchy, counting from the very top. And finally, our last connection brings us with Aquarius and Pisces, two neighboring and closely related signs having much to do with human fulfillment. Aquarius, the baskets of nourishment, the elemental lives, the etheric nature of the atomic lives, and then all the way up to the top, number 12, Pisces, intelligence, substance. And in fact, I think we can see a close connection there between the substantial, the animated substantial nature of these lower, excuse me, pardon me. Yes, I was saying the animated substantial nature of this seventh creative hierarchy, really number 12, and the idea of intelligent substance by the Pisces hierarchy. And Pisces is also the water which is matter. So there's a definite connection, and there's a connection via Jupiter as well. I have not really gotten into all the rulers that we might consider, of course, but Jupiter rules Pisces in a normal sense, and esoterically it rules Aquarius, where we find the other hierarchy, number 12. Well, all of these are interactions. The ones that DK has given us particularly are the relationship between hierarchy number 5 and or the 10th creative hierarchy and hierarchy number 8. And we have Neptune as the hierarchical ruler and its lower octave Venus over here as the hierarchical ruler of the solar angels. We've also been told of a connection between this fifth creative hierarchy, in which the number 5 is very strongly represented symbolically as well, as factually with the 5 liberated beings, the 5 liberated groups. And, yeah, we have to see on what level these should be considered, because on every planet there are groups of intraplanetary kumaras, and they are different from the planetary kumaras themselves. The planetary kumaras really are planetary logoi. The intraplanetary kumaras are the representatives of those planetary logoi, and they would be found, for instance, in this kind of setup. No, a little bit farther back. The intraplanetary kumaras would be found here. These, the Buddhas of activity, are intraplanetary kumaras, each representing a different planetary kumara in the solar systemic sense. And maybe also these esoteric kumaras could be considered intraplanetary kumaras. But Sanat Kumara is a direct emanation of the actual planetary logos. He is, in a sense, the planetary logos. So these are, well, what have I given here? These are numberings which can lead to insight. There's, we can connect these by position on the plane. We can also connect them by rulership. So let me look at that. And I think what I want to do, so I don't make the usual mistake, is to say these creative hierarchies can be connected by the number of the plane on which they express, or the number of the planes on which they express. They will not be connected by hierarchical rulers, because each of them has a different hierarchical ruler. But they can be connected by the similarity of orthodox and esoteric rulers to the hierarchical rulers. For instance, when we're looking, or by orthodox rulers to each other. But frankly, you know, for instance, in the case of the triple flowers, the triads being connected to the hierarchy of light on the unmanifested level, both are orthodoxly ruled by Taurus. So another way to connect, of course, is through the just through rulerships. I think I can simply put this, this would be connection through all manner of rulerships. But it may be, you know, kind of an obscure trail to follow, and Master DK has warned us against following trails that are too obscure and really may lead nowhere. There's so many other things that maybe are more important, but still, what I wanted to point out, at least more important at our stage of unfoldment, I wanted to point out the connections between these different groups in terms of the planes on which they manifest, and also, and hence the, so what do we have here? The numerological connections. We have numerological connections. We have planar connections, and possibly rulership connections. There are, we're going to see shortly that DK connects various of these hierarchies in unsuspected ways, but since we don't really know what these unmanifested hierarchies are actually doing, we just have a little bit of a hint here in terms of their, the kind of energy they express and the sign through which or in relation to which they express it. But in cosmic astral terms, what possibly could we know? Because in a way, these are the levels, I just thought of something. You know, if when we look at these particular hierarchies, we say, okay, they're manifesting on the cosmic physical plane, even though they have their origin on planes far above, some of them, the divine flames, for instance, it's just an area of manifestation. It's not the area in which the monad is found. Same for the divine builders. Same for the lesser builders. Probably the same for the higher part of hierarchy number 5. Then when we look at these hierarchies, where do they have their monadic expression? Will it necessarily be on the cosmic astral plane, or could it be on the cosmic mental plane? What types of lives do they represent? I believe they do not represent the planetary logoi. In other words, they are not the planetary logoi. They are not collections of planetary logoi, but they could be connected as with and representatives of the greater Kumaras, the planetary, actual planetary Kumaras. The word Kumara is fairly versatile. It can represent a great being functioning within a planet, or it can represent the planetary logos itself of a particular planet. And so when such a term is used, we have to try to understand which one DK really means. Well, as I say, this material is just really beyond us in a certain sense. Some of the energy expressions may be interesting to us. We know that substance, you know, is intelligent. The anima mundi here may be involved with the Pisces hierarchy, as water is matter, and the anima mundi has within itself, or is the intelligent soul within all types of substance. Aries is always producing, will the hierarchical ruler be Uranus here? Perhaps. It is always making an effort. Aries is the constellation of effort and focused energy to achieve something through exertion. But there is a movement towards unity here, because it's ruled by the fourth ray, just as substance is ruled by the third ray. Well, the fifth ray lord, and we don't know either where these ray lords, of course, are shambolic beings. Those are intraplanetary ray lords, and they have their monad I feel pretty sure not at all on the cosmic physical plane. But the most luminous of the ray lords is the fifth ray lord, and so Taurus is the mother of illumination. Connecting these is very reasonable. Light through knowledge. The acquisition of knowledge is a very important thing to the Taurian, but we're talking about a very high order of lives, which must be collecting knowledge of a much higher status than the knowledge we can imagine. Anyway, Taurus, ruled by Venus and its fifth ray, and associated with the fifth plane of the cosmic astral plane. Interestingly enough, our planetary logos is said to be struggling on the fourth level of the cosmic astral plane, and so may be working in some sense through an Aries hierarchy or working in association with it. Then the sixth ray is not usually associated with Gemini whatsoever, except when you look here, you've seen the way he's put these together. The sixth ray is desire, and duality is Gemini. So we have here the desire for duality and probably for the interplay of dualities and to be represented by duality. When it comes to Cancer, it does, in this case, express the seventh ray. But the reason the seven is there is because it's the focus will be, not yet, on the seventh subplane of the cosmic astral plane. And Cancer is the sign of mass consciousness. Here we have mass life. But what is mass life? Maybe the mass life is many types of lives on the cosmic physical plane considered as unconscious of what transpires on the cosmic astral plane. It veils the Christ, but what type of Christ? Our Christ, or does it, in fact, well, Neptune and the Christ are one in a certain sense, Neptune, Vishnu, and the Christ. So it is as if we have the Christ manifesting through the lowest form of astral, cosmic astral matter, or cosmic astral energy, let's call it that. We have to remember that that what we call love in a higher sense does emanate from the cosmic astral plane. So even though these five Kumaras have developed manas to a high extent, since they are focused on the cosmic astral plane at this time, there must be for them the curriculum of cosmic love, I would say. Well, all of these, you know, I'm well aware they're just words, and they indicate potential connections. I think it's probably more important for us to think of what the creative hierarchies are in general. They are, in one sense, they are groups of monads that either are correlated with certain rays, which they express through, or are driven by certain rays which propel them and are the emission of a higher type of creative hierarchy. They also, in a way, build themselves into composite beings. For instance, if you look at the human creative hierarchy, it is expressing through the fifth creative hierarchy and through the lunar lords, through both aspects of the fifth creative hierarchy. It's expressing through what the solar angels have given, the higher aspect on the higher mental plane. So what we normally call the human ego, and it's expressing through the human personality, which is a name given here for the crocodiles and Makara, so the lower mental plane. It's also expressing through the lunar lords in general, which give us our astral body and our physical body. I'm not sure whether the etheric should be included, but some of the symbols for the etheric body are the moon, and it's violet in color, so it seems to connect with the etheric body. So anyway, these three, particularly hierarchies 9, 10, and 11, make one composite being, which we call the human being. So in the human being, a number of creative hierarchies are combined. And I think we could find this to be the case with some of the higher creative hierarchies in relation to each other. But how they combine, this would be, well, not something we could easily see. Maybe not something we could see at all. Anyway, three kinds of connections, right? So that's what I'm talking about here. Three kinds of connections, numerological, planar, and rulership. But there's probably not much we can relate to these connections to in the life we can fathom, in our lower life. So I think I just have to let it go after indicating the possible lines of connection, and maybe the intuition will work and fill in what these patterns really are and how they can relate to our lower life. You know, out of the many triangles Master DK might have discussed, he only discussed relatively a very few, and they were the ones who would have an effect on our human life in a way that we might recognize. So far, there's not much here that we'll be able to recognize, because when dealing with these creative hierarchies, we barely know what the monad is. We're only learning what the solar angel is. As far as the human personality and the lunar lords, we're learning something about them. That's our focus. But as far as the elemental lives, well, that's in the realm of modern science, and we have not applied occult understanding to these lives. Some degree of occult understanding is being applied to the nature of the lunar lords and to the human personality, and when it is possible, to the human hierarchy. As far as these higher hierarchies go, well, to the extent that we can understand something about the vehicles of the spiritual triad, we're told that they confer form, maybe the forms of those vehicles, perhaps. And the divine builders confer soul, which means they are intimately related to stimulating consciousness, because soul is consciousness. The 2 and 6 are very connected here. As for the divine flames, well, they may be, in a way, the life of the monad itself, or maybe they are closer to monadic, to the essence of the monad, than even the divine builders are, because one day there will be a liberated volatile essence which is alchemically liberated into the sea of fire, and perhaps then the divine lives will have a monadic impact. Well, you know, sometimes you just have to leave a subject having suggested what you can and get on to other things. Now, we were looking here at this table of creative hierarchies, and we have discussed the names of these hierarchies and their numbers. I just have to, when I look at the Burning Suns of Desire, I see such a strong Jupiterian connection. When I look at the, because all of these numbers can be related to Jupiter. When I look at the triads, I see a very strong mental Mercurian connection and a Saturnian connection. These are all numbers that have to do with the mind. Here, we see the fourth kingdom, and also the greater nine. Knowing the note to which the fourth great group responds, and linking it to the great creative nine, so we see here the idea of the nine initiations, and the possibility of being liberated towards them through the fourth degree. We see the fulfillment of the human kingdom promised. When we come to the crocodiles, again we see strongly monastic numbers, but also a number of the will, a number of completion, And the number 10, interestingly enough, even though these are out of order, these hierarchies are out of order, and this should be, in another world period, ruled by the crocodiles, the number 10 tells us there is a connection to Capricorn. So it's 10 down, and the Capricorn connection is very strong. The 5 of Venus and its fifth ray, and of Manus, and the 3 of Manus as well. When it comes to the sacrificial fires, we're really dealing with a 6 and a 2. The number 11 really is a 2. So we're dealing with magnetism, with desire, and with love, with magnetic energy. And when it comes to the baskets of nourishment, well, here we have manifestation 7 and completion 12. And of course, the number 1 is also related to the mineral kingdom. It's the first kingdom, and it will be, I believe, the type of matter, representing the type of matter through which these baskets of nourishment manifest. Now, the symbols, we should take a look at them. I think it's just about hopeless to take a look at the type of electricity or Shakti that is moving through these beings. We're not told anything about the type of energy which is manifested in the which is demonstrating in the unmanifested creative hierarchies, but we're told here, you know, about the sixth cosmic force or Shakti. Well, if we start counting from the cosmic physical planes, we might say that this is the sixth plane, a numbering 6 from beginning in Pisces, but also it's the sixth cosmic force of the sixth, it's the first aspect of the sixth type of cosmic electricity. So then do we assume in some way that here we have the fifth type of cosmic electricity, the fourth type, the third type, the second type, and excuse me, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, that this is in a way the first type of cosmic electricity here in Pisces? Well, we cannot know such a thing. We have the seventh Shakti here, but the word Shakti doesn't always mean the same. DK is being vague here, or deliberately blinding, when he says it's the second of the seventh type of force from out the many. So how is this seventh type of force different from the cosmic forces or Shaktis, which are implied as occurring on the cosmic astral plane and are here present on the first plane? Is this seventh Shakti the same, in the same category as the sixth Shakti? Well, all we know is it's connected with a seventh plane. And now again, we have the first Shakti, but is it a cosmic force? Because it can't possibly be greater than the sixth cosmic Shakti. Maybe this is perhaps sixth Shakti. Is it, we could ask, is it systemic Shakti or force? It's the third of the electric force. Let's see. So this is going to be simply a question. It is the third of the electric force of the first type of cosmic energy. I think I better go back and get the actual reading on that. Here we go. Trees of cosmic fire, and we'll go to hierarchy number 3. The third aspect of electric force of the first type of cosmic energy. So the third aspect of the, I'll read it again, of electric force. The third aspect of electric force of the first type of cosmic energy. Now, does this first type of cosmic energy come from the cosmic astral plane? We don't know. I have a feeling that a very profound connection with the fifth ray will be needed, an occult connection and a metaphysical connection with the fifth ray will be needed to decipher this. It's the third type of electric force of the first type of cosmic energy. Does this first type of cosmic energy, does it occur on the first plane in some way? Because this is the sixth type of cosmic electricity. Is cosmic energy different from cosmic electricity? That is the question for us. Here we start to get simple, and we talk about the fourth type of cosmic energy, but not the fourth type of cosmic electricity. Because up here we have the sixth type of cosmic electricity, and we're obviously dealing with a lower type of energy. So the fourth energy could be considered of the first type of cosmic energy. Yes, maybe the word energy and cosmic energy relates to what is found beginning on the cosmic physical plane. The term energy may relate to that which begins on the first level of the cosmic physical plane, perhaps. I think I probably should have made all of these much smaller. They are in 10, and it would have been better to make them in 8. And I think that's what I'll do. I'll make them an 8 so that we don't have to go quite so far, quite such an expanded view to look at them. There are different kinds of energies here, and they are being differentiated, but in a way that we do not fully understand. Suffice it to say, I think, that cosmic energy is not the same as cosmic electricity. Here he talks about cosmic force or Shakti, but elsewhere in describing this he talks about the first aspect of the sixth type of cosmic electricity. So the cosmic electricity originated, this we will say originated on the cosmic astral plane. And I just want to keep things clear here if I possibly can. I'm going to give a different color here to what DK actually said, and I'll keep myself in red, as it were. Okay, so we'll do it that way. And this is what DK actually said. So we'll work on it that way. And when I say something, it's going to be in red. And when he says something, the term energy, okay, first type of cosmic energy, there's blue again for him. And if I write something in, it will be written in red. Okay. This is the number 8. So now we start simply with cosmic energy. We assume that this is the fourth type of cosmic energies, and the energy is generated on the first four levels of the cosmic physical plane. So let's put it like this. What we are calling energy is generated on the first four levels of the cosmic physical plane, because now we're into forces. This is the fifth cosmic force, and we have entered the world of concretion. So energies have to do with the cosmic ethers. Cosmic ethers. And forces have to do working out in the dense physical body of the solar logos, which the lower three planes represent. So this is the force of Mahat. It's connected with the fifth ray. And this is a cosmic force. I guess I'm calling it cosmic Kama. And this is cosmic mind. So, not as opposed to cosmic intelligence. There's a difference. Mind has much more to do with the technical focus on knowledge and the manipulation of knowledge or the application of knowledge. And now we have something called a creative force. We're not calling it a cosmic force at all, but it does tell us of the link of the seventh ray to the third, and how and this we find in some of the constellations like Cancer, where both and Capricorn, where both the seven and third are linked. Well, I'm not sure that that was helpful. It's just sort of laying out, excuse me, it's just sort of laying out certain relationships which have to be given significance. Maybe if we discuss a bit more concerning the symbols, something will come to light. Of course, a 12-petal lotus, golden in color, this is very much like the heart center of the human being. And of course, the heart center is ruled by Leo. Leo is involved, and Leo rules this creative hierarchy as well. So I'm going to make these eight again, so they're a little more compressed. Now, the fact that it is closed, 12-petaled lotus, speaks of future unfoldment. The closed 12-petaled lotus points to future unfoldment, maybe on the cosmic astral plane. Perhaps. Because our lotus was closed in the early days of evolution, and of course we have another 12-petaled lotus which has more of an orange color, perhaps at first, but the inner petals of which would carry on the color yellow. But sometimes we talk about our causal body as a golden lotus. Let's do it this way. Our causal body is also looked at. Can also be seen as a golden lotus. The sunflower, you know, the sunflower on the higher mental plane, it has many, many colors, but its golden quality is important. Now, this is really all I can say about it. Maybe he will say something below. The next creative hierarchy is focusing on the monadic plane, and this makes sense in quite a rational way. Seven colored spheres, each with a central fire. So these are, I would say, it's too big, right here. I would say that these are seven monadic spheres representing the seven monadic rays, and the central fire is the very essence of the monad. But these are not seven monads. They are seven spheres containing many monads. So that being, whatever it is, and we've tried to discuss what it is, short of being a planetary logos, lives through millions of monads, even billions of monads. We don't know the exact number of monads in our solar system and how many of them may have the first through seventh subrays. We know, you know, we're told in relation to the solar system, sometimes one would think in relation to our planetary logos, but in relation to the solar system, you would think, okay, there are 20 billion third-ray monads, 35 billion second-ray monads, and 5 billion first-ray monads. But each one of these can have any one of the seven sub-rays. And when we're talking about the sub-rays or the submonadic rays, we had better be speaking of those which exist on the monadic plane, because there are seven circles. Seven monadic circles, and not just three. The three often hovers above the seven, as we've seen on many charts. But if you're going to go looking for the three, you're going to have to go to the logoic plane. So these are great circles of monads which are ensouled by some superior life, and the type of superior life may be that which we find in the second creative hierarchy. Now, for the third group, the triple flowers, or the triads as they are called, a triple flame, in a way it's the flame of Brahma, hovering over a golden altar. The altar suggests sacrifice, and it is the solar angels who have sacrificed themselves, and one thinks of them as solar and golden in color. One thinks of the solar angels as solar and therefore golden in color. So it seems to suggest the relationship between hierarchies three and five, with the golden altar representing somehow the sacrifice of the solar angels and the triple flower, with the triple flame above and in a higher status than. See, the solar angels have penetrated into the dense physical body of the solar logos, but these triple flowers have not. They are still viewing the ruler of the deep, and they cannot go beyond the cosmic etheric plane. So, but if you reject them, you are rejecting the Christ path, and if you reject the solar angels, you're also rejecting the Christ path. So there must be a very close relationship between the three and the five, and in the words of Stephen Pugh, he suggests that three and five are the two numbers which represent the fifth ray. So there's a very strong monastic connection here, the third being a monastic ray, the fifth being a monastic ray, and the two together perhaps indicating the cycles of the fifth ray, the duration of cycles of the fifth ray. The triple flame, well, in a way our monad is a kind of a triple flame. It's a flame, it's a central fire, and it has three aspects to it. But these are higher beings, and they seem to confer form or higher form life to that expression of the monad which works out in the spiritual triad. So I have often thought that these two hierarchies, the divine builders and the triple flowers, the triads and triple flowers, confer the vehicles through which our monads express themselves on the monadic plane and then on the triadal planes through the triadal vehicles. At the same time, I think that these triple flowers may contain, may contain many triads, and these burning suns of desire contain and live through many monads. So contain and live through many monads. Well, you know, this is just the preliminary kind of work to try to get the qualities straight when interpreting these symbols. The French fleur-de-lis is connected with this third group. It's a very intelligent group, and it's the foremost group in the field of Brahma upon the cosmic physical plane. Foremost group in the field of Brahma upon the cosmic physical plane. B-R-A-H-M-A. We come now to the human hierarchy, and it says the sun, S-O-N, standing with outstretched arms in space. Well, standing, so thus forming a cross. And the number four is prominent here, the four-fold cross. And, of course, we have as well the second aspect of divinity. The second aspect of divinity is implied with the sun or the Christ. The rays of the human being are to be the second and the fourth, and we find both numbers here represented. We have a saving function here of the lords of sacrifice and of what is called ceaseless persevering devotion. Well, CPD, ceaseless persevering devotion. So we have here a kind of a mediating function which holds its hands out perhaps to the lower kingdoms, the savior of the lower kingdoms, the savior of the lower kingdoms. Savior of the lower kingdoms. So this presents a very Buddhic picture of what the human hierarchy is supposed to be. It's supposed to be a reflection of the Christ, reflection of the sun. Well, human hierarchy is existing on all the different planets, not just on ours, but at least on our planet, there's such a close connection with the second ray and the fourth ray, the two rays that are to characterize the human kingdom, at least. So lords of sacrifice, lords of ceaseless persevering devotion, the initiates, and I guess through the power of the sonship, initiation will be taken. The great Son of God, Sirius, in a way, the cosmic Christ, sponsors the entire program of initiation, at least on our planet, and maybe on others too. Well, we come down to the crocodiles are perfect ones, remembering that's remember. So if I want remembering, if you just excuse me for a moment here, RMG, remembering. Okay, but let's get it right. R-E-M-E-M-B-R. There we go. We have to remember that it's a dual hierarchy. This is a dual hierarchy. Exactly what that means, we don't know, but we have theorized that there is a division between a kind of solar and lunar aspect of this hierarchy, and that we have the different kinds of Agnishvatas, and we have those that are related to the solar angels and those which are lower. The five-pointed star with the symbol of System 1 in the middle, well, I can only say with simplicity, these lives come from system one, or we call that the previous solar system, where they were human beings. So they carry the manus of System 1. They represent the achievement in consciousness. They are sons of mind. They are divine sons of mind. They are Manasa Putras. They have raised mind to a very high level and also are expressing love. And we will find that they are really a union of mind and love, and that when you read of the process of the fifth ray Lord, you will see how much mind and love are connected. I've sometimes wondered whether a ray Lord has only one ray. I know this is like a foolish thought, but they are monads after all, and all are triple. So, you know, perhaps they manifest a particular ray at a certain time. Maybe they have more than one ray, but the ray that they manifest is the one with which they come to be identified. I also think that the five-pointed star, it doesn't tell whether it's upward or inverted, it can represent mind in the downward-pointing five-pointed star can represent mind in the service of desire. It's a lower thing. Well, okay, why not stop while we're ahead and say that this is the end. I'm not going to do it that way, am I? 1, 2, 3, 4. I'll put it over here. That this is the end of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries, number 12A, page 1224, is it still? Maybe it's 1225. No, maybe not. No, it's still 1224. Okay. Page 1224. Beginning of a Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries 12B, page 1224. Okay.